Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good evening, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother and servant in Christ, Radio Reformer, am in studio once again to present another proposition, and we are steadily making our way, and we are presenting to you the many faceted arguments. And to date, not one member of the Joint College of Bishops has responded. We have presented to you 37 bullet points thus far. 37. And we have not heard from these people. They have not called. And by the way, the number here is 646-564-9730. Again, the number is 646-564-9730. Today we're going to be presenting to you proposition number 38. And by Sunday, we would have presented to you all 40 propositions. We will hit the 40 proposition mark no later than Sunday. So we're making our way. And these are arguments that we're making because we are sick and tired of the abuses and the malpractices that are going on in the African American church. And even if the people do not realize that they're being abused or that ministerial malpractices are taking place, we are here to point that out to them scripturally. We're here to make the scriptural argument. We're here to say, thus saith the Lord. We are here to cry aloud and spare not. And these men who, and women, and let me include the women, these men and women who claim to be members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, they're supposed to be scholarly people. They're supposed to be people who can break down the word. People who are well-versed in theology, well-versed in church history, well-versed in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. But it doesn't seem to be so because they don't call. They don't present a counter-argument for any of these arguments, and we know that they're tuning in. We know because we see the numbers. People are checking out these propositions, and I've got to believe that within those great numbers, there must be one member, two members, three members of the Joint College of African American Bishops. If you go to Google and you type the phrase, the Joint College of African American Bishops, these propositions come up alongside of other stuff. So, excuse me. So anyone doing any kind of research on the Joint College of African American Bishops, when they type in that phrase, that title, that name of theirs, that organizational name, that brand of theirs, these propositions come up. The book, Jackass Church Bishops, comes up. The book, Nehushtan Church Bishop, comes up. The new book that's about to be released, Draconian Tsunami, that book comes up. When you do a search for the Joint College of African American Bishops, but yet, they want to ignore, but there will come a day when they will not be able to ignore, and I encourage them to respond. We're making our case. We are going to present 95 bullet points in commemoration of the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's nailing the 95 thesis to the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church. So, my brothers and sisters, for those of you tuning in from Norway and Germany and France and Great Britain and, of course, Canada and South Africa and from Ghana and from the Caribbean and from here the United States and for many other places, too numerous to mention, because we're told where people are tuning in from. I want to welcome you to this broadcast. I want to welcome you. Now, today, Proposition number 38 reads like this. The Joint College of African American Bishops is solely to blame for the spiritual epidemic called the Purple Plague. And by the way, I have coined that phrase, the Purple Plague. It's the title of one of the 12 books. One of the title of the 12 books that we will be releasing commemorating this 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation is entitled The Purple Plague. The Purple Plague. So let me read it again from the top. The Joint College of African American Bishops is solely to blame for the spiritual epidemic called the Purple Plague, which has spread to almost all African-American churches. The Purple Plague. What is the Purple Plague? Well, the Purple Plague is the satanic fever one gets to put on the Roman Catholic purple cassock. You see, you got Satan fever. You got devil fever. And that Satan fever, that devil fever, that Beelzebub fever, which comes on people heavy, causes them to do whatever they have to do to put on that Roman purple cassock. Now, when you look at the black church today in America, it's hard not to find a church where the bishop has not sold out to Rome. It's hard not to find a church. Almost all bishops within the African American framework have gotten the purple plague. They have gotten the itch to secure a bishopric and to don the purple cassock. That's what I call the purple plague. And it's satanic. It's satanic. These are what we call end-time dress rehearsals. End-time dress rehearsals. And what do I mean by end-time dress rehearsals? Well, the harlot church, the apostate church, the church of Antichrist, has to appear. Now, what are the colors? What are the primary colors of the apostate church? What are the colors of Mystery Babylon? What are the colors of the harlot of Revelation 17? What are her colors? Well, Revelation 17:4 tells us what are her primary colors. Well, one of her colors is, as it says here, and the woman, speaking of the harlot church, was arrayed in purple. 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 Is it any wonder that the favorite color of the Joint College of African American Bishops, two of the favorite colors of the Joint College of African American Bishops, happens to be the two favorite colors of the harlot in Revelation 17. Do you think that's a coincidence? Do you think? No. No, 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 no. Now, there were initially four carriers of this plague. four people who carried the plague. According to the book, and I'm reading, I'm not making this stuff up, I'm reading the book written by Bishop J. Delano Ellis II. The book is entitled The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. By episcopacy, he means Romish Anglican episcopacy, and he's not creating anything, he's copying it. Let's be clear on that. He is copying episcopacy. Well, let me read to you from chapter 1, entitled In the Beginning. It says, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, okay, are you listening? 1994. Four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbert Sterling McKinley, Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, both of Brooklyn, New York, along with Bishop J. Delano Ellis of Cleveland, Ohio, were discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated episcopacy within the African-American Pentecostal community. After lengthy discussion, a telephone call was made to Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton of New Orleans, Louisiana. Bishop Morton expressed his desire to join these men. What men? Archbishop Wilbert Sterling McKinley, Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, Bishop J. Delano Ellis. Those men. Bishop Morton expressed his desire to join with these men in forming this college, and Bishop Ellis was elected to preside over this venture. The name chosen for the organization was the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, aka the Joint College of Bishops. So, as you can see, back in 1994, this epidemic started, and it started with just four men. Here they are again: Archbishop Wilbert Sterling McKinley, Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, Bishop J. Delano Ellis, and Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton. Two men from Brooklyn, one gentleman from Cleveland, Ohio, and the other from New Orleans, Louisiana. Four men established this organization without consulting God, without hearing from God, and adopted Roman Catholic canon law. They are solely to blame, is this institution, for the spiritual epidemic I call the Purple Plague. Now, all across the black church in America, all across the United States, from California to New York, so-called bishops, and again, you have to question their episcopacy, you have to question their calling, but these bishops now, these so-called bishops now, are a race to don the purple cassock. They're in a race. This is a plague. They're not in a race to preach. They're not in a race to rightly divide the word. They're not in a race to win souls. They're not in a race to counsel wayward sheep. They're not in a race to make Christ known. They're not in a race to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. No. They're in a race to don the Roman purple cassock. And this is a spiritual disease. This is a spiritual disease. It's an epidemic. What is an epidemic? Well, an epidemic, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is an infectious disease that resides within a community at a particular time. It's an infectious disease. It spreads. It spreads. Now, I can tell you that it spread from these four men. It says here, let me read to you again. One late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose. What was the purpose? For the purposes of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. Now, black preachers prior to 1994, prior to this one summer afternoon, knew nothing about the purple cassock. Knew nothing about the mitre, knew nothing about the crozier and the pectoral cross, knew nothing about Anglicanism and Romanism, knew nothing about having a chief consecrator and two co-consecrators, knew nothing about the Episcopal ring, knew nothing about the scarlet slippers and the pantyhose, knew nothing about having people genuflect before them to render them adulation, knew nothing. But in this summer day in 1994, four men started this epidemic. And now, those who don the purple Roman cassock are the laziest of people. They do nothing. The people who donned the purple, the people who wear these cassocks and these skull caps, these people who come into the church in Anglican procession, these people carrying candles in. I mean, it's absurd. These people are do-nothing prima donnas. They're lazy. That's one of the tall tale signs that you got the purple plague. You're a lazy preacher. Another tall tale sign that you have the purple plague is that you don't want to serve, but you want to be served. Contrary to what Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life in ransom for many. These guys wouldn't give their lives for anybody. Another sign of the purple plague is that you don't search the scriptures, that you don't heed the Bible, you don't heed end time prophecy, you don't read the book of Revelation. The purple plague makes you allergic to the book of Revelation. You won't listen to sound teaching. Another indication that you have the purple plague is if someone tries to steer you to the truth, you call them a hater. You call them an ignoramus because they're not schooled in Roman Catholic canon law. Well, I am. And that's why I wanted to call the broadcast. That's why I keep inviting you all on, and I keep giving out the number 646-564-9730, because I want to see how much canon law you really know. Because the books on canon law are right in front of me. All I have to do is pull them off the shelf. They're right in front of me. I'm in a little studio that has all the books that I have on canon law. And they're right here, just in case you call. Because I have questions for you about where did you get this idea of having a chief consecrator and two co-consecrators? Can you show me a Bible passage? And I know you can't, but I can show you in the Code of Canon Law where it's found. I can tell you where you got your scarlet slippers from. Obviously, you didn't get your scarlet slippers from Jesus, but I can show you in the Code of Canon Law where you got your scarlet slippers from. I would like to ask you, where can you find the purple cassock in the New Testament, or even for that matter, in the Old Testament, or in the Intertestament books, in the Apocryphal books? Can you find for me No, you can't. But you can find it. You can find it in the Code of Canon Law. I have page, chapter, and book. You see, you have the purple plague, and the purple plague gives you a mush brain. You have mush for a brain. You have mush for a brain when you get the purple plague. The purple plague is much like the bubonic plague or the black plague. And remember Bishop, and again, I'm calling you Bishop in deference, but Bishop, do you remember when you studied church history? Do you remember when you studied world history? Do you remember coming across the subject of the Black Death, the Black Plague, that ravaged Europe in the Middle Ages, in the Dark Ages, when the Roman Catholic Church was in her heyday? Well, the Purple Plague is much like the Black Plague. Now, here's a short video on the Black Death, the Black Plague. Here it is, and it you'll see how similar the Purple Plague is to the Black Plague. Let us listen.
The delirious victim staggers about in his final moments. His speech is slurred, skin purple-black, covered with swollen, pus-filled lumps as death calls him. Witnesses to this terrifying spectacle called it the Dance Macabre, or Dance of Death. In the 14th century, a terrible catastrophe fell upon Asia, Europe, the Middle East, and North Africa that would change the course of history. The Black Death. The Black Death, or bubonic plague, was an outbreak of disease that killed one-third of the European population in the period 1347 to 1350. It had a similarly devastating impact in Asia, the Middle East, and North Africa. The disease played no favorites. Rich and poor, young and old, priest and peasant, all fell victim to this horrible and, at the time, unexplained sickness, which was spreading like wildfire. The populations of entire towns and villages were wiped out in a matter of days. The dead were buried in mass graves to cope with the rapid death toll. Only a thin covering of soil was placed over the dead bodies before another layer was buried on top. Pope Clement VI consecrated, made sacred, the Rhone River so corpses could be thrown straight into it. So, what is the Black Death? Where did it come from? While it's difficult to trace with any real certainty, the outbreak is believed to have originated in the Gobi Desert in Mongolia early in the 14th century. Prior to this, the disease had existed for centuries in regions of Asia, with small outbreaks occurring from time to time. Any one of these could have been the source. Once infected, the victim would first experience a high fever, aching limbs, and fatigue. Within days, the lymph nodes in the neck, armpits, and groin would start to swell and turn black. These black swellings are where the Black Death gets its name. Michael Placentius, first-hand witness to the horrors of the Black Death, wrote, "Here, not only the burn blisters appear, but there have developed gland boils on the groin, the thighs, the arms, or on the neck. At first, these were the size of a hazelnut and developed accompanied by violent shivering fits, which soon rendered those attacks so weak that they could not stand up, but were forced to lie in their beds consumed by violent fever. Soon the boils grew to be the size of a walnut, then to that of a hen's egg or a goose's egg, and they were exceedingly painful and irritated the body, causing the sufferer to vomit blood. The sickness lasted 3 days, and on the fourth, the latest, the patient succumbed. The stinking pus-filled swellings, otherwise known as buboes, gave the bubonic plague its name. Their nervous system under attack, victims would become crazed and delirious with fever. Once the swollen lymph nodes started to burst within the body, the sufferer was not long for this world. Death usually occurred within the week. By the time the infected person who had introduced the disease to the port, town, or village died, others would already be in the early stages of infection. This made preventing an epidemic incredibly difficult. The outbreak of the Black Death in the 14th century actually involved three different strains of plague. The most common and visually the most gruesome form is the bubonic plague. The second form was the pneumonic plague. It infects the respiratory system once the bubonic strain reaches the lungs. The third form, septicemic plague, infects the body's circulatory system, that is, the blood. The bubonic plague is actually the weakest of the three strains. During the worst outbreaks of the Black Death, pneumonic and septicemic plague had mortality rates of almost 100%. It's believed malnutrition played a major role in making the symptoms more dramatic. Many who died had endured years of famine, the result of severe storms and drought, making their weakened immune system vulnerable.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. The Black Plague, the bubonic plague. Well, today we suffer from the Purple Plague. Historians think, guess, that it came from some region in Mongolia. Well, we don't have to guess about the Purple Plague. We don't have to guess. We don't have to guess. Because it started in 1994, one late summer afternoon, while four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia. That's how it happened. That's when it started. There were four original carriers. Now, instead of lumps on the body, what started to appear on these men's body was Roman Catholic garb. The cassock, the zucchetto, the episcopal ring, the crozier, the mitre, the slippers, the alb. I mean, just starts appearing on the body. And it's Roman Catholic wear. That's how you get the Purple Plague. You see someone wearing the stuff, you see someone wearing Roman Catholic garb, and you get the itch. And you get the fever. And you gotta have it. And you get it. You do. You sign on the dotted line wherever the devil will have you sign. You sign, you do whatever you're gonna do. You take whatever classes you need to take. You get whatever chief consecrator and two co-consecrators that you have to get. You'll spend whatever money it takes so that you can become a full-fledged bishop in the African-American church. Now, as we turn to page number 61 in the book entitled The Bishopric, chapter 10. Let me read something to you in chapter 10. It says, the members of this college have the distinction of the same vestment as that of the presiding bishop, with one reservation. Regular bishops may not wear the scarlet slippers. They're forbidden to wear the scarlet slippers. However, the highest color in this office is Roman purple. You see, the highest color in the office of the bishop, according to the Joint College of African American Bishops, and they're taking their cue from the Roman Catholic Church. The highest. Again, let me read it to you again. It says, the highest color in this office is Roman purple with regards to the cassock. Well, let me just play for you a little bit of audio. And let me show you. Let me play for you some audio where there is a person who has the purple plague, and is manifesting the fact that they have the purple plague because they're wearing the Roman purple cassock. Let's listen.
Bishop McCullough, she's wearing first the Roman purple cassock.
What is she wearing? The Roman purple cassock. I told you that the purple plague was spreading. It's spreading. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm not making this up. It is spreading. Here's another person wearing in the African-American church the Roman purple cassock. It's the purple plague. It started in 1994. There were four men carrying the disease. But it's an infectious disease, which means that other people also get it. When you're around these people, you will get it because you want to be a member of the club. And the highest color, according to this book, the highest color in this club, again, let me read it to you, page 61, out of the book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy and the African-American Church by Bishop J. Delano Ellis II. It reads on page 61, second paragraph, the highest color of this office is Roman purple with regard to the cassock. With regard to the cassock. So here is a person who's got the disease. They got the fever. They got to wear. They got to be part of the club. They just have to be part of this new club that just came on the scene in 1994, and people just got to be part of this club. They've got the purple plague. Here it is. Listen again.
Bishop McCullough, she's wearing first the Roman purple cassock.
She's wearing first the Roman purple cassock. That's the foundational color. When you get this plague, when you want to be part of the heart of church, remember, when people got the black plague, they got the black plague as a result of malnutrition. These people are getting the purple plague as a result of malnutrition. They are not feeding off of the Word of God. They're not feeding off of the heavenly manna. They're not feeding from the manna. The heavenly manna. So they get the purple plague. Because I can tell you one thing. You want to get inoculated? You want to get inoculated from the purple plague? Read Revelation 17, verse 4, and that's inoculation enough. That's inoculation enough. Read Revelation 17, 4. You don't want to wear the Roman purple cassock after you read Revelation 17, 4. Why? Those are the colors of Satan's church. But you see, you're delirious. You've lost your mind. You've lost your mind and you're delirious because you have an infectious disease. The disease is spiritual. Spiritual. Oh, I can't wait to release the book, The Purple Plague. I can't wait to release it. Because you see, we make all these connections. Only a jackass. And again, I go back to the book, Jackass Church Bishops, which we have already released. And that was the whole point of the book. You have to be a full-fledged jackass to want to leave Christ and join the apostate church. You just have to be. You just have to be a hee-hawing jackass. I don't care what degrees you have. I don't care what university you graduated from. When you turn your back on Jesus and his colors. Because when you read Revelation 19, in Revelation 19, there appears the true church, the true bride of Christ. And to her was given, to the bride of Christ was given to be dressed in white. But it is the harlot church who loves the purple and the scarlet combination. The purple and the scarlet. So you just heard here where you just heard where J. Delano Ellis is consecrating this bishop, and he says she's wearing the Roman purple cassock. He is the chief consecrator. He is ensuring that everyone gets consecrated after Roman Catholic canon law. It's shocking. How could this person let themselves, how can they even go after this kind of bishopric? They must have mush for a brain. Mush! Mush! And that's what happens. When you got the bubonic plague, you know, you lost your mind. You're delirious. It's the same thing with these people. They're delirious. And my brothers and sisters, this thing is spreading. Here it is again.
It's all right. Use that one and help her to dress. Bishop McCullough. She's wearing first the Roman purple cassock.
Wearing the Roman purple. You go to your commentaries and you'll see that the woman dressed in purple and scarlet in Revelation 17 is the Roman Catholic Church. Now, interesting enough, let me read to you concerning the same woman who is dressed in purple. Let me read to you from verse 4. Let me read verse 5. Let me read verse 6. For it says, speaking of the harlot church, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead, as it was the custom in those days, the prostitute had a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the what? Saints and with the martyrs of Jesus Christ. And when I saw her, I wondered with great wonder. Now, you just heard this man say that she's wearing the Roman purple cassock. And he says, the Roman purple cassock that is spattered with blood. Now, whenever you think of spattering, you think of a crime scene. When you bring in a spatter expert to testify about, you know, spatter patterns at a crime scene, what do these spatter patterns tell us about how the crime took place? So, if you read verse 6 of Revelation 17, it says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. In other words, that woman hates the saints. The apostate church hates the church of God, hates the believers. Well, listen to what this man has to say. Listen, this is mind-boggling that people with so-called degrees and PhDs and doctorates can't pick this up.
To dress. Bishop McCullough, she's wearing first the Roman purple cassock, spattered with blood.
It's spattered with blood, but he does not go on to say whose blood. He tells you full well it's the Roman purple cassock. He tells you full well it's the Roman purple cassock, but then he falls short to tell you whose blood is it spattered with? But we get the clue. We get that information from the Bible. It is spattered with the blood of the saints, with the martyrs of Jesus Christ. You see, my brothers and sisters, these people are joining the wrong team. They're in celebration. They are consecrating people who are joining the harlot church. This is a harlot church consecration. That's what this is. Now you have got to have an infectious disease, because this is a spiritual disorder. These people are delirious, wanting to join Rome, wanting to look like Rome, wanting to sound like Rome, wanting to act like Rome, wanting to govern like Rome, wanting to be in bed with Rome. You know, if you go to a prostitute that has AIDS, what do you think you're going to wind up with? If you go to a prostitute that has gonorrhea or syphilis, what do you think you're going to get? I mean, these are infectious diseases. If you hang out with Rome and Rome has the purple plague, you too are going to get it. Now, let's go to another video, because this video here speaks to the fact that this disease, this purple plague, is on an epidemic level. What is an epidemic? Let me go back to an epidemic. The first definition in the Oxford Dictionary concerning an epidemic, it means a widespread infectious disease in a community at a particular time. Well, there is a widespread infectious disease in a community. What community is it? The black community. At what time? Today. In this hour. So what's going on in the black church today fits the description of an epidemic. A widespread, because it's from coast to coast, infectious disease. Yes, the purple plague is an infectious disease in a community. What community is that? The black community. You don't see this. You don't see this among whites in America. You don't see this epidemic among whites at a particular time. What time? Well, I like to say, like the black church, for such a time as this. The second definition is a widespread outbreak of something undesirable. A widespread outbreak of something undesirable. Well, if you're in your right mind, you don't want it. But since they're not in their right mind, they want it. They're delirious. Well, here is Bishop J. Delano Ellis telling us how all of these elevation services have basically reached an epidemic. Listen to him.
Every month or so, there's a new promotion, a new installation, a new consecration. Boy, we have a plethora of bishops, overseers, and apostles being elevated. And I keep asking.
You see, he says we have a plethora. In other words, we have an epidemic. We have a pandemic. He says, boy, I mean, we got bishops being elevated. We have apostles. This is going on like it's going out of style. But he's the guy who started it. He was one of the four who carried this spiritual infectious disease. It was he and others who were on their way to Philadelphia to pick up vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office on that summer afternoon in 1994. And they're the ones who got together and decided to do this organization that has incubated this plague that now is hurting the African-American church. This is the guy who started it, but notice he's talking about a plethora. It's out of control. You have more bishops than you do members. Right now, you have more bishops than you do members.
Every month or so, there's a new promotion, a new installation, a new consecration. Boy, we have a plethora of bishops, overseers, and apostles being elevated. And I
see? But who started all of this elevation nonsense? Who introduced these elevation services to the African-American community here in the United States? Who introduced it? He did with his three other co-founders. He's guilty of this. And it's out of control. You know why? Because when you unleash a plague, you can't control it. You can't control it. You thought you could control it, but you can't control it. The demon is out of the bottle. The demon is out of the bottle.
Installation, a new consecration. Boy, we have a plethora of bishops, overseers, and apostles being elevated. And I keep asking myself, for what?
And that's what everybody else wants to know. For what? Because they serve no purpose. The people who have been bitten by the purple plague, those who have been infected by the purple plague, those who walk around manifesting the purple plague, those people don't do anything. They're lazy bums. They don't want to work. They don't want to work. They just want to be worshipped. They want people to bow before them. They want people to worship them and adore them. These bishops are useless. They don't feed the flock. They don't protect the flock. They don't guide the flock. They don't water the flock. They do absolutely nothing for the flock. All they do is fleece the flock. Fleece them. That's what they do, them, so that they can have the bishops living in a lap of luxury. Living like pimps and prostitutes. That's what they do. But here's more.
And because we are so accustomed to focusing on the present, how many of us are really planning for the future of our organizations and our churches? How many of us have a succession plan? I mean, a succession plan beside our sons or our daughters, our natural family, our dynastic kind of thing. Well, we need to think about it. Because if we don't, our organizations, as great as they may be, will die shortly after we're off the scene.
They're dying now. The black church is dying as we speak. Why? It's got the purple plague. Listen, it's the church is dying. The church in the black community does nothing for the black community. It does nothing. The black church was once the safe haven for the black community. Now you run into a black church and it would be better for you to be out in the street, because if you go into a black church, they're going to fleece you. They're going to bring prophets before you that are going to collect two and three offerings and make you promises about a wealth transfer and a breakthrough and a deliverance and a healing, and you get nothing. You get no bang for your dollar. You get no harvest for your many seeds. All you get is heartache, lies, and false promises. Clouds they are without water. Wells they are without water. Trees that produce just bad fruit. So, yeah, the black church, yeah. You, of course your organizations are going to die because they're not connected to the vine, Jesus Christ.
Now, you tell me, isn't that a worthwhile discussion? Isn't that a worthwhile series of thoughts? Meet us at the Joint College this March. Go online. Hurry up. collegeofbishops.org. Register. I need to see you there. We are past the rules. We got that down pat.
See? He's already indoctrinated them about all of the robes, all of the intricate parts of the vestment. It's been almost 25 years that he's been peddling Roman Catholic vestments. The 25 years, yeah, they have that down pat. But the plague is spreading. Because like he said, we have a plethora. It's out of control. Everybody wants to be a bishop. Everyone wants to don the purple cassock of Rome. And once you put that on, your church will die, because you are an infected bishop. You have the purple plague, and that will kill you and your church. And eventually, it will affect the black community. Because God gave the black church to the black community that she might be saved.
Excuse the pastor. We know how to put on vestments and plumes and chains and rings and things. Some of us look like Darth Vader. Now, you get to the college and find out how you might preserve legacy, not jewelry.
You're not going to preserve anything, because the plague is wreaking havoc. Again, I go back to my proposition, my dear brothers and sisters. The Joint College of African American Bishops is solely to blame for the spiritual epidemic called the Purple Plague, which has spread to almost all African American churches. These guys took the demon out of the bottle, the demon of Roman Catholic canon law. What is Roman Catholic canon law? It is the doctrines of men and the doctrines of demons mixed together. This is where you get all of the colors to all of the outfits, which are pagan and apostate. And this has spread. It has spread like the bubonic plague spread, like the black plague spread. And there was no one who was able to stop it. And God, in his mercy, stopped it before the entire human race had been wiped out. That was during the Middle Ages, when Rome was in its heyday. Well, once again, Rome is in her heyday. And it's not the Black Plague. It's not a physical disease. It's not a physical epidemic like in the Middle Ages, but now it's a spiritual epidemic. That epidemic, the Black Plague, the bubonic plague, killed the body. This epidemic kills the soul. It separates man from Jesus. It separates the branches from the vine. My dear brothers and sisters, the African-American church is in trouble, and the Joint College of African-American Bishops, carriers of the purple plague, are solely responsible for the epidemic, for the widespread infectious disease known as the purple plague. Well, my brothers and sisters, I think I've said enough. I think I've provided enough audio to prove all these points. Now I leave it up to you. And I hope that when the book, The Purple Plague, comes out with all of its footnotes and all of the historical evidence and how I connected to today, I hope and pray you'll secure a copy of that book. And you would take its message to heart. The Purple Plague. It's wreaking havoc in the African American church. I'll be back tomorrow with proposition number 39. And then on Friday, Sister Marie will be in studio. She'll be in studio to do her wonderful Friday broadcast in which she is covering the subject called the insiders. There are people who were once inside these mega ministries that have inside information to show us how wicked these organizations are, how wicked their leaders are, but you got to listen to the insiders, for they have the inside information because once they were on the inside viewing everything that was going on. I will be back, my dear brothers and sisters, tomorrow. Sister Marie will be in studio Friday, and then I will be back on Saturday with another proposition. God bless you.